So I want to thank everyone for coming, and rescheduling, because I realized last night, and I spoke to Yuri about this, that I'm going to be in transit. Right, I'm going to be in transit, so it's going to be complicated. I could give this year on Wednesday, but I'm not sure about it. So I figured if we can get together, that'll be okay. So in honor of Chag HaShavuos, there's an essay here that I thought would be appropriate from olamot.net, and it's called Torah Shebal Peh. And what he wants to get into here and analyze is the source or the root of machlokes. We have controversies in the Gemara, and sometimes they're very fundamental issues, you know, whether it's Beisil, Beishamai, whether it's Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shimon, whoever it is. And then it goes through the Amoraim and down through the generations. So what's the... what's the root of machlokes, if we can touch on it? Yeah. And the one who dedicates a lot of time to this is the Rambam. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see the Rambam. So let's begin on page 1 with a pasuk in Chumash. That's always a good place to start. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar. Rashi says the famous... opening Rashi to Parshas Bahar that we read last Shabbos. Ma inyan Shemitah itzal Har Sinai. You know, the Torah is now presenting the mitzvah of Shemitah. What does it have to do with Har Sinai? So he tells us that there's a rule that's being presented over here. And what is that? He says, even though Kol HaMitzvos Nemru B'Sinai, not just Shemitah, but in the case of Shemitah, we have not only the Klolim, which are the general rules, but we also have the Pratim, the details, and the Dikdukim, and the minute, subtle laws. And all of that was given at Har Sinai. Af Kulam, so to the other 612, Nemru Kloloseim V'Digdukeim Misinai. It's not just that they got the Klolim at Har Sinai, but Moshe brought down the entire Torah, including the Pratim, including the Digdukim, and all the specifics. Rashi repeats himself later on in Parshas B'Chukosai, when it says, Ele HaChukim V'Mishpatim V'Toros. What did the pasuk mean when it specifies these categories? Chok, Mishpat, and Torah. Rashi goes through all of them. And when he gets to Toros, he says that the plural of the word Torah, because when you ask a student how many Toros we have, he gets very nervous about that. We only have one Torah, but in truth we have two Toros. And that's why the pasuk calls it Toros. Achas, says Rashi, Bichsav, the Achas, Palpeh, Magid, and what is the pasuk trying to teach me? Shekula mitnu l'moshe misinai. So if you put together the two Rashis, you get the impression that the entire corpus of the Torah, which includes both the written Torah and the oral Torah, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and from Moshe to Pnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. In fact, if you take a look at the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Heyam and Aleph, there's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, and it says, Ve'etna l'cha, this is referring to Har Sinai, es luchos, okay, that's referring, of course, to the luchos habris, which have on it the aseres hadibros, okay, that's called luchos ha'evan, and then it says, Va'torah va'mitzvah asher kasavti l'dorosam, so luchos elu aseres hadvarim. That's the aseres hadibros. And Torah is mikra. Mikra meaning Torah shebichsav. Rashi asks the question, why is Torah shebichsav called mikra? What's the meaning etymologically of the word mikra? Rashi says, shemitzvah likros ba'Torah. Here the mitzvah is kriya, reading. That's with regard to the written Torah. And then it says, veha mitzvah. What is mitzvah? Zu mishnah. Rashi says, what is mishnah? She is asku b'mishnah. The halacha is that we have to be osek b'mishnah. In other words, with regard to Torah Shebichsav, kriya is enough. If you read Torah Shebichsav, any of the Chavdal Sifrei HaKodesh, that's a kiyum mitzvah. But once we get into mishnah, which is already Torah Shebaal Peh, then it's not enough that you read Torah Shebaal Peh. A person could take out a mishnah and start reading the mishnah. He doesn't understand a word. That's not a kiyum mitzvah. And therefore, yisasku b'mitzvah. Yisasku means to delve and to try to understand the mitzvah, the mishnah. And Asher Kasavti Elu Neviim Uksuvim Lahorosam Ze Gemara. So we have Mishnah, we have Torah Shebichsav, we have Mishnah, we have Gemara, the entire gamut. And all this is given at Har Sinai. Molamid says the Gemara Shekulam Nitnu LeMoshe MiSinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu received the entire Torah at Har Sinai. And if you take a look in the Yerushalmi in Peah, which is the third source on your page on the right side, the Yerushalmi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi darshins a different pasuk in Parshas Ekev. And based on that drush, it says, Kol ma she'talmid vasik asid lahoros, anything that down the generations, down the lines, a Talmud will paskin, he has an insight, he delivers his verdict on an issue, lifnei rabbi in front of Moshe, kfar nemar l'moshe mi-Sinai. It was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Now, this is very problematic. What does it mean that anything that any Talmud will say at the end of time was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai?
The secret answer was already given.
What do you say?
The secret answer. In other words, the understanding how to answer it.
How to resolve any issues, perhaps.
Was given at Har Sinai.
But the only thing is, this is what my problem is, because there's something called Chidush. Chidush means I can come up with a new insight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the greatest, right. The most glorious aspect of Talmud Torah is when I can come up with my own.
With something new.
New. So what are you telling me? It's not new because it already was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai.
So he could analyze it and understand it, how to answer you.
Okay, so maybe Moshe Rabbeinu got something more general, and now you have to analyze it. Yeah, David?
We weren't later, where Moshe Rabbeinu was shown where Rabbi Kiva was going to say, and he doesn't understand what he's talking about. So Rabbi Kiva.
Oh, okay, so you're a step ahead of me. Okay, great. So wait a minute, David. Give me 1 minute. So on the bottom of your page one, we have the famous Sugya Menachos, which David is referring to. What happened? That's on the bottom of your page one. Amar Rav Yehud Amar Rav B'Shasha Ola Moshe LaMorom. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, Matzah Kodesh Baruch Shiyoshe V'Kosher K'sarim Li'Osios. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is adding the, what we call the tagim, you know, to the letters. V'kosher k'sarim li'osios. Amar lefanu ribono shel olam, why is this necessary? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that down the line, there's going to be a scholar named Akiva ben Yosef, that's Rabbi Akiva. Asid lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz tilei tilim shel alachas. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu finds out that there's going to be down the line this great giant scholar named Rabbi Akiva who's going to derive conclusions from every single kotz, every single, you know, the yud, for example, has a kotz that comes to spitz, you know, if you're writing a Sefer Torah, you have to know all these halachas. So Moshe Rabbeinu was so excited, he said to Ribbono Shel Olam, Her'ehu li, you know, give me some sort of a vision of Rabbi Akiva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyochel into the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is giving a great shiur, like our shiur today.
Time travel, love it, my favorite.
Okay, and what happens? So I guess Moshe Rabbeinu takes a back seat or somewhere. You know, he's afraid he might fall asleep in the shiur, so he sits in the back. You always know that all the sleepers sit in the back. And then Rabbi Akiva is darshaning, he's deriving halachas from the Tagim of the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu lo hayodea ma'omrim. He didn't know what was going on. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu is confused. He doesn't understand the Torah that's being taught by Rabbi Akiva. So he turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, you know, after this, he has this like chalisha sadash, toshash koch. He gets so weak, you know, because he realizes that he doesn't understand the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. And then he gets excited. Why does he get excited? What comforts him? One of the Talmidim asks Rabbi Akiva, "Minayin l'cha? How do you know this gigantic revolutionary conclusion?" It was given over by Moshe when he received it as Nisyashva Daito. And at that point, He was very calm down, Moshe Rabbeinu, because he realized that it came from him. So the obvious problem, which all the Mefarshim are going to raise here, is how could it be that this halacha l'Moshe miSinai, Rabbi Akiva is transmitting that halacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what's going on here? Lo avi yodea, he doesn't understand. Simple. It came from him. What?
Simple answer.
Uh-huh. You want to say that chronologically, perhaps this whole story, the episode with Rabbi Akiva, took place before Moshe Rabbeinu received the halacha. I don't know. It's possible. I think there's a problem with that approach. But in any event,
science fiction time.
Okay. All right. Let's go slowly. In any event. First of all, I want to tell you that there's an article here which is very fascinating. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. On page 15, and I may have mentioned to you in the past the Sam Derech. The Sam Derech was authored by the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, Rav Simcha Zissel Broider. And in this essay, which is on the bottom of page 15, he tries to figure out how do we reconcile the fact that there's such a concept called Chidush in Torah with the fact that the Yerushalmi states that Kol Mashe Talmud Vasek Asid L'Chadosh was already given to Moshe Misinai. If it was given to Moshe Misinai, why is that called a Chiddush? Okay, so again, that we're going to leave for later if we get to it. Again, if you could stay till my flight leaves at 4 p.m., then hopefully we'll get to it. All right. Now, what we want to study today is a chiddush here on page 2, I think it is. Let's see if we can find. Oh no, it's not on page 2. Of the Ritva. Okay? The Ritva is on page 3 on the right side in Mesechta Erevin. Okay, now what happens in Mesechta Erevin? Because the Ritva, Mesechta Erevin is on top page 3. And we have the most relevant parts are underlined. And the Ritva adds an amazing chiddush. Okay. The Gemara tells us that for 3 years, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel had a machlokes, halolu omrim, and each one was claiming halacha kimosenu, that halacha is like us. Yotza baskol v'omra, so a heavenly voice came out and cried, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Now what does this mean, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim? It sounds like the Gemara is giving a grade to Beis Hillel, and I'm sorry, to Beit Shammai, because Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel, and yet Beit Shammai is claiming that the halacha is like us, so the Gemara validates Beit Shammai. The way I'm reading it, not only is Beis Hillel telling you the truth, but even Beit Shammai is telling you the truth. So the Gemara goes on to say, so if that be the case, if Beit Shammai is no less truth than Beis Hillel, why was halacha established like Beis Hillel? And the Gemara gives a whole explanation about this. Now I just want to point out to you, Rabosai, this is on the side, I gave a shiur recently on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah that says in the fifth parak that machlokes l'shem shamayim is sofol is kayim, and the Mishnah gives an example of Beit Shammai Beis Hillel, Shammai and Hillel. So the Arizal says that in this world, the world as we know it today, we paskin like Beis Hillel, but ultimately after Mashiach comes, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. The question is exactly, why do we paskin like Beis Hillel in this world, and after the Geul at the end of days, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai? Very problematic concept. And the Chassam Sofer says he can't accept this pshat of the Arizal. You know, for the Chassam Sofer to question the Arizal, because he says, we have one of the Yisodei Amunas that a Torah will never be changed. But be that as it may, the Arizal says that Beis Hillel represent Midas Harachamim, Chesed. And we need that divine attribute in this world. We can't live based on Din. Liosid Lavo, at the time of Mashiach will be able to live on the level of Din. And that's how he interprets Elu v'Elu Divrei Kim Chayim, meaning that even though we pass like Beis Hillel, that's only for the temporary, for the time being. But Beis Shammai is no less MS than Beis Hillel, just that the Midah of Beit Shammai is more appropriate for the Achris Hayyavim, the end of time, and that's what we're going to paskin like Beit Shammai. Oh, so what does the Ritva want to say? The Ritva quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas, and he says, Heich efsha shiyu shneim divrei lekim chayim. How can you say that they're both giving us the truth, divrei lekim chayim? That's impossible. Ze oser v'ze matir. This one says it's also, this one says it's mutter, this one says it's tomek, this one says it's tar. This one says he's chayim, this one says he's potter. How can you possibly say, therefore, that they're both giving us the truth? So the Chachmei Tzarfas answer the following. Kisha'ola Moshe lemorom lekabalat Torah, when Moshe went up to the heavens to receive the Torah, herolo al kol dovu dovu, on any halachic issue, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu, memtes ponim le'isur, memtes ponim leheter. I like to give the mashal of a prism. You know, if you look at a prism, you'll see different colors as the light hits the prism. And depending upon, you know, where the light is coming from, where you're situated, but it's all the same. There's no contradiction. It's just a question of perspective. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that for every issue, there are tzadim, 49 ways of looking at it le'isur, and 49 ways of looking at it leheter. The Omar Shiyaheze Mosul Lechachme Yisrael Bechaldar Vadar Viyahe Hachra Kemosam. This is an amazing statement of the Ritva in the name of the Rabbanei Tzarfas. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave to Moshe Rabbeinu a final answer. There's no conclusion. There's no absolute yes or no. Absolute Tomei or Tar or Chayav or Potter. What it is there are elements of Chiyuv, there are elements of Ptur on both sides of the equation, and the same is true for Tumah Vitara, the same is true for Yisur Veheter. There are sides to look at it this way and that way. And each side, each perspective, each dimension is truth. But as far as Halacha is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorized the Chachmei Hadoros to be machria, to determine how the halacha should operate in any particular generation. So it seems to me that what the Ritva is implying, which is a pretty radical chiddush, and it might answer the question of the Chasam Sofer that I raised earlier, is that ultimately we may paskin like the other Mandi Omer, in this case like Shammai against Hillel. Because again, Shammai is saying truth just like Hillel is saying truth. But the Chachamim in one particular generation or during one historical period paskin like Hillel, and then eventually the Chacham might paskin like Shammai. Now, why that's going to change? Okay, the Arizal gives us a Kabbalistic understanding of why it might change. There are other explanations that some say that Beit Shammai is mechadadei tfei, they're sharper, but they are so deep and so profound that we don't really understand Beit Shammai. It's only lost in love of that. Whatever your explanation is, according to the Ritva, this is justified. And the Ritva gives us a grade. After quoting the Rabbanei Tzarfas, he says, V'nachan hu l'fi adrash. And it's correct to darshan in that way. He says, on the other hand, there's a sod bedavar. So maybe that's what the Arizal is touching on, the sod bedavar. So let's just summarize what we have here. We have one issue as to how Moshe Rabbeinu was confused about the shir that was given by Rabbi Akiva, and that shir itself, those halachas were based on halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't understand it? We have the question that the Samderach is going to address in Yirtz Hashem as to why we have a concept, how we have a justified concept of Chidush, if any, in any event, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And as far as Machlokas is concerned, we see that in the case of Hillel and Shammai, the Gemara establishes that Elu Ve'elu Divrei Kim Chayim, even Shammai is giving us the truth. And there are different perspectives of the truth, and there are tzadim lekan and lekan. It's not pure, absolute iser or the reverse. And the Chachmei Hadoros were authorized in each generation to be machriya the halacha.
Would the Rav say that this is only in things that there was a machlokas in the first place? In other words, if something's clear from the beginning...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's so, Joe, because I don't think that this...
Further explanation.
Yeah, what do you say, Meyer?
That it's further.
No, but I'm just saying, Meyer, that it could be that in general, there are always different perspectives. In certain cases, maybe the answer to your question is obvious. In other questions, it becomes the subject of a plugta, of a machlokes. But I would think that what the statement here is of memtes panim leisur, memtes panim lehet, that could apply straight across the board to everything. Again, you know, if we were studying a philosophy course on truth, you know, how to define truth, and is truth relative, is truth objective, this is something that the philosophers, even the secular philosophers throughout the generations have racked their brains on this issue. And you can go to Princeton University and they have books on this topic, you know. But it seems that from a Torah perspective, there's no absolute, because there are elements le'iser and elements leheter. Fine. Okay. So now let's try to figure out how this machlokas, in the case of Hillel and Shammai, or in the case of any machlokas tanoim, came about. And we're going to look at a Gemara in Tvura, which is back on your page, two. Now, the Gemara in Tmura establishes, and this you'll see, we only did the first part of the Gemara in Tmura, but the Gemara establishes that Shloshes Alofim Halochos Nishtakhu Bimei Evlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what the Gemara is telling us is that 3,000 halochos were forgotten during the period of time of the grief of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I'm not sure if what the Gemara means is that psychologically, when a person grieves and mourns, they lose their focus, they lose their ability to remember things. You know, sometimes you shock a person and it makes such an impact that he forgets. Okay, we'll have to ask the experts in memory if that's so. And the other way of understanding this Gemara, I think, is not within the psychology of memory, but perhaps what the Gemara means to say is that Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. And once Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, a process of forgetting settles in. Like, you remember the Gemara in Brachos tells us that after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died, the Talmidim were on the way back from the Levaya, from the funeral, and they stopped to eat. And they weren't massive together, Behaseba. So they, even though they said, let's eat together, let's break bread together, the question was whether they could make a Zimun or not. And the Gemara says that they cut Kriya a second time because they realized the loss of their Rebbe, that had he been alive, he would have taught. So the process of weakening in terms of the Torah, of Shichchas HaTorah, begins with, in this case, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, 3,000 halachos is a gigantic, you know, chunk of halachos. The Gemara goes on to tell us that there were other periods of time when halacha was forgotten. For example, the Gemara talks about Yoshua ben Nun. The pasuk says about Yoshua ben Nun, Lo yomish mitoch ha'ohel. Miyad toshash kocho shel Yoshua, v'nishtakhu mimenu shlosh meos halachos. V'noldu lo shvamios sfekos. Wow, he has 700 issues that were outstanding that couldn't be resolved. And the Gemara tells us that Elef Ushmamios, there was 1,700 Kalim v'chamur, meaning very severe halachas, very light halachas, Gzeres Shavos, Dikduke Sofrim, Nishtakhu, Bimei Evlo Shel Moshe. So again, the numbers just keep rising exponentially. You know, whether we're talking about 300 halachas that were forgotten, 3,000 halachas that were forgotten. Now we're talking about 1,700 halachas.
Miracles by Yom Suf. Really?
That Yam Suf, what?
It just keeps the number of miracles keep getting.
Right, yeah, the numbers keep growing. But the point here is that there's going to be a reversal of this process. What's the reversal of this process? Omer Rabbi Avo, that's the first of your wide lines in Tmur Tezayin. Afal Pichein, Hichziron Osniel Ben Knaz, Mitoch Pilpulo. That Osniel Ben Knaz was able, that's in Kiryas Sefer, that's where he was able to return through his Pilpul, his analysis, these halachos. Okay, Rabbosai, then I think what we have in front of us is perhaps the simplest answer to the question why, what gave rise and what gave birth to machlokas, the answer is shichasa Torah. Because once the Torah is forgotten, and in this case Othniel ben Knaz comes to the fore, and he returns, restores that Torah that was forgotten through Pilpul. Well, Pilpul means analytical knowledge. You know, your Pilpul is not the same as my Pilpul. Your analysis is not the same as mine. You know, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu is passing on the tradition of the Torah, and we have the entire corpus, which we said includes both Torah Shebaksav, Torah Shebal Peh, then there's no room for machlokas, because everybody received the same Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. But once the shichacha process begins, and now you have to restore the Torah that's forgotten through Pilpul, well, your understanding is not the same as my understanding, and that's a machlokas al pi svara. If you take a look, for example, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Pei Ches Amid Beis, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi Mitchilo Hayomar B'Machlokes B'Yisrael. Initially, you know, there's a sugya, as you're all familiar with, called Zaken Mamre. And the Rambam says that the severity of the crime of the Zaken Mamre is because he's really questioning the entire authority of Bezdin HaGadol, the 71 elders, because they have the final word. And therefore, the Gemara says, there's no machlokas. As long as Sanhedrin HaGedola is extant, as long as they are issuing verdicts and deciding fine, you know, outstanding issues, there's no room for machlokas. Because if somebody gets up and he argues and rebels against the psak of the Bezdin HaGedola, he becomes a Zaken Mamre, he's put to death. This is Shlo Yirva Machlokas Bi Yisrael. So now we know that any question that came up, if it engendered a certain suffix and there was a controversy about it, it would be taken all the way up to the Lishkas HaGozis in Yerushalayim, and there the Bezdin HaGadol would give a final psak, a final answer.
It's only if he paskins like that, right?
Yeah, he's got to give a horah that argues with the horah of the Bezdin HaGadol. But Joe, what I want to point out here is that the reason for the severity of his crime and the harsh punishment thereof is because he is undermining the whole institution of Bezdin HaGadol. Without Bezdin HaGadol, it's machlokas here, machlokas there. The Gemara then goes on to say, and you'll see it towards the bottom of your page, Misha Rabu Talmidei Shammai VeHillel Lo Shimshu Kol Tzarkan. This introduces the famous concept called Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. In other words, I have to learn my Rebbe's methodology, I have to learn as much Torah as I can and soak up his Torah. What happened at the time of Shammai and Hillel was that Talmidim didn't reach that level that they were required to reach of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. As a result, what happened? Rabu Machlokas Bi Yisrael V'Naseis HaTorah Kishtei Toros. Now, Rabosa, you could multiply that by I don't know how many thousandfold. You know, when we talk about the contemporary situation today, I mean, it's just, you know, unfortunately, the Jewish nation is split into more than two Toros, because everybody has their own Torah. And you have YU Torah, and you have Lakewood Torah, and you have Sephardic Torah, and Ashkenazic Torah.
It's not that much different.
The truth is that I agree with you with regard to Sephardic Torah and Ashkenazic Torah. I'm not sure if I agree with you on the other issue, which I don't want to get into. But look, the Torah is always in motion, and you'll always have a different...
No, don't say that.
You know, you'll always get a different perspective from somebody who's, you know, maybe borderline, whatever it might be. I don't want to go into detail, but, you know, we are living in a generation where, again, it's just bifurcating, it's splintering, and there's all these Torahs. And why is it? Because Lo Shimshu Es Rabham Karoy, and Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means to really be dedicated to your Rebbe. And I'm not talking about, you know, preparing the tea for your Rebbe and making sure he has a chair to sit on. That's all very nice, but that's not what we're dealing with. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim means to understand the Rebbe's way of thinking. And until that happens, the Mesorah is in jeopardy. The Mesorah is based on Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. That one Rebbe could pass on to the next Rebbe his understanding, his methodology. The Gemara talks about Rabbo Muvhak. What's Rabbo Muvhak? Shalomen mimenu rov chachmaso. So I heard once from my Rebbe, it doesn't mean that he studied, you know, more volumes in the Shas Bavli and Yerushalmi from this Rebbe than another Rebbe. That's not it. The Rav used to say about himself that if he calculates how many blot he learned with his father, who was his Rebbe Muvok, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, maybe 500 blot. That's not bad, by the way, 500 blot. And they used to learn Be'ir. That wasn't like a 45-minute Tafyomi Shir, you know, speed reading. But nevertheless, the Rav said, it doesn't matter how many blot I learned from my father. He's my Rebbe Muvok because he taught me how to think. He taught me when you could say a Chiddush and when the Chiddush fits into the framework of Torah and Mesoras HaTorah. But today, we unfortunately have people who are Megal upon him, L'Torah Shalom Kehilchasa, and they say Chidushim just to impress the audience, you know, just to show how radical they can be. And I don't want to go into detail because, you know, I get very upset about it.
And that's not characteristic of the...
No, not in Toronto, not at all. If you point your finger here, I'm going to deny it. I'm going to claim I never said it.
Is that not characteristic of what the Ritva said in Tumurah that we just talked about?
The Ritva says in Tumurah that as far as Psak Halacha is concerned, why does Gemara say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Kim Chayim? Because the Rabbanon in each generation are given the Koach Achrah, but the Koach Achrah is based on the Torah that they heard from their Rebbeim. It's based on the methodology that the what we call the Derech HaLimud, that they received. Okay, so what are we up to now? We have the Gemara in Temura. The Gemara in Temura tells us about various episodes in Jewish history when Torah was forgotten. And that's one justification or explanation as to why there are machlokas. And we'll get back to the Gemara in Temura in just a second. Then we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that the reason for this machlokas is because Lo Shimshu Karoi, there wasn't a Shimush Talmid Chacham Karoi, and as a result, is Nasei Satorah Kishtei Toros. Fine. But let's go back to the Gemara in Temura for a second. There's something amazing here in the Gemara in Temura, and I don't want to miss up on this. It's about like 6 or 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. And he says the following. He says that... Second, where is it? Okay, then...
Three lines for the white lines?
Just 1 second. I saw it a second ago.
Yeah, some time. Yeah, 3 lines for the white lines. No, the second part is the white lines. It's just before the white lines. Oh, wait, actually, yeah,
you're a lizard. Just 1 second, sorry, I apologize. Oh, here it is. So if you count up from the bottom, it's 6 lines up from the bottom. The Brisa that's quoted here in Tmura lists all the areas of Torah knowledge in which there's machlokes, where there was a forgetting of the Torah, and we spoke about the Elef Shvamios, the 1,700 halachas that were forgotten, and on the list it says Gzero Shavos V'Dikduke Sofrim. Now look, with regard to Dikduke Sofrim, I think I can take a stab at it. And that means that the Chachamim will institute what we call Siyogim and Gzeros and Takonos over the course of Jewish history, and there could be a Machlokas about that. You know, Beis Hillel would say we don't need a Gzera, and Beis Shammai would say we do need a Gzera, we need a Takona. That's called the Duke Sofer. But the Pella here, which is absolutely mind-boggling, is that on the list we have Gzeros Shavos. Now, a Gzera Shava is not something that's subject to Machlokas, at least according to the Rambam. Again, this is the, you know, I think the Rambam got into trouble a little bit, but this was the Rambam's very, very extreme position about Gzera Shava. So let me show you on page 5 that you have the Hakdomas HaRambam to the Pirush HaMishnayos. And I don't know if we'll have time to go through this entire Hakdama, but just a few major points. The Rambam says that you can divide up Torah Shebaal Peh into 5 different categories. It's a brilliant presentation of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam. And the Rambam goes on to tell us that there are 2 out of the 5 are not subject to Machlokas at all. no controversy in two cases out of five. The first case is what the Rambam calls, you'll see it on the third paragraph, Pirushim HaMekubalim. Pirushim HaMekubalim Mipi Moshe. You have that? What does that mean, Pirushim HaMekubalim Mipi Moshe? That means Halach LeMoshe MiSinai, something that Moshe Rabbeinu received and transmitted from Har Sinai. And the Rambam goes on to tell us, with regard to this first category, Ein Machlokas Behem B'Shum Panim. There's no such thing as Machlokas about Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. The Rambam quotes a Remez L'Dover, if you take a look. He has the Pasuk Pre-Eitz Hadar. You know, the Dalet Minim in Parshas Emor, it doesn't tell us exactly what the Esrog is. It just tells it's a Pre-Eitz Hadar. And we don't have any Machlokas about the Esrog. We know exactly what the Esrog is. And why is that? Because that's Mi'a Pirushim HaMekubalim. So again, even though the Torah in Torah Shebichsav doesn't tell us exactly what the Esrog is, it calls it Pre-Eitz Hadar, was a bit ambiguous, but we received an oral Torah, which is Torah Shebal Peh, that's Halach LeMoshe MiSinai from Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there's no Machlokas. Then the Rambam goes on to the second category. And the Chelek HaSheni, he says, is Dinim Shenemar Bohem Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. Now we're talking about not Perushim Mekubalim, but Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. So let's just understand the difference between the two. In the case of Pirushim Mekubalim, we have a Pasuk, and we don't know exactly how to interpret the Pasuk. The Torah is vague, and uses the phrase Pre-Eitz Hadar, comes along the Perush HaMekubal from Moshe Rabbeinu, and says that that's referring to an Esrog. Now we have a different category, very similar, and that's called Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. Halach LeMoshe MiSinai means that there is no Pasuk that's ambiguous, but rather, it's a halacha that you won't find in the Torah at all. There's no pasuk in Chumash at all. I'll give you an example. Arlas chutz laretz. The Torah says, ki tovel artzachem in Vayikra Yutes. The Torah doesn't breathe a word about arla and chutz laretz. And we have halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, these are arla and chutz laretz. So for example, I know here there's a lot of agriculture in this country, am I right? And Baruch Hashem, the produce is beautiful, it's wonderful, I got to taste a little of it while I was here. And if you're in agriculture, you have to know the laws of Arla. You don't have to know most of the other laws, like Trumas and Maestras. You don't have to know much about Shemitah V'Yovel. You could be an absolute ignoramus in Zroim, but there's one section in Zroim that you have to know, even here in O Canada. And what is that? That is Arla. Because Arla, no, heges bein ba'aris bein b'chutzarts. In Eretz Yisrael, it's midin Doraisa, and in chutzarts, it's midin Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. He says to Rambam, here too, there's no machlokas. There cannot be a machlokas about Halach LeMoshe MiSinai. Not in Pirushim Mekubalim, and not in a separate halacha that was given to Moshe and transmitted. What are the other three areas of Torah? Number three, the third chelek, which you'll see on the top of your left column, that's called Darkei Didim Shalotzion al Darkei Hasvara. Those are laws that we derive from Svara. You know, very often the Gemara says, Ibai Seim Akra, Ibai Seim Svara. So logic, again, it's not our logic, you and I. This is not the logic that you take in college, you know, logic 101. This is the Torah's logic. It has its own rules and regulations. Like, for example, Kal Vachomer has very technical rules. Here the Rambam says, Svara plays a role. And when there's svara, there are no absolute proofs, lakan or lakan. And if there's no proofs, then there could be machlokes, nafla bam machlokes. And then we have a system of psak halacha to determine normative law. And the Rambam quotes a gemara in Yevamos daf ayin vav hamid beis with an example of a machlokas b'svar. The fourth category, says the Rambam, which you'll see towards the bottom of your page, about 15 lines up, he calls gzeros shetiknu hanavim v'chachomim b'chol dar v'dar. So now we're already on at the Rabbanan level. The third level of svara like Kal Vachomer, that's Doraisa. The fourth level, when we talk about Takonos and Gzeros, that's already Midivrei Sofrim in every generation. And the purpose of Gzeros and Takonos is Lasos Siog LaTorah. And the Rambam says, with regard to Siag LaTorah, the Torah says, Vishamartam is Mishmeres, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, and here there's going to be Machlokes. Why is it going to be Machlokes? And the answer is because every Chacham has his own understanding about when and how we should institute these Gzeros. However, when we finally get an agreement amongst most of the Chachamim, then we can establish this Takonah, we can establish this Gzeirah, but nevertheless, there's going to be a dissenting view, albeit a minority view, and they maintain the opposite point of view. And finally, we get to the fifth, which is the last paragraph on your page, and that is Hadinim Hasuyim Al Derech Chakira Vaskoma. Okay, this is a little bit more complex. The Rambam includes in the fifth category what we call Takonos u'minhagim. Okay, now Takonos u'minhagim, you have to know, says the Rambam, why is that not considered Tosefes mitzvah or Giron mitzvah? Torah says Bal Tosef Bal Tigra. Once the Chacham add new mitzvos, then you would think that that should be a violation of Bal Tosef. And the Rambam says that since it's Haskoma with Noegim Bei B'nei Adam, that's not called Tosefes mitzvah. Kiyesh Toelis LeAdam, there's a purpose, it's a takana, it's a minog, and Shlomo HaMelech says about anyone who violates this takana, this minog, is Poreitz Gedi Yishchenu Nachash. And Elu Eim Takonos Rabos Mi'od, Nizkaros B'Talmud V'Mishnah, Isa V'Hete, Dini Mominos, many, many different takanas, even takanas that were instituted by the Nevi'im, like Moshe Rabbeinu made certain takanos to read the Torah publicly, Yoshua made certain takanos, Ezra made takanos, and all these takanos are generated by either a group of chachamim, sometimes by an individual. Hill, for example, made a takon of Prusbul with regard to Shemitah's Ksofim, Vaharbe B'Talmud. And here too, the Rambam goes on to say that there is machlokes. As we said before, not everyone agrees that we should institute a certain takana or a certain minhag. Now this Rambam, in the first two categories, where the Rambam denies that there's going to be machlokes, generates a whole literature. And the most important source for you and for me, a whole literature. What I use the word literature to mean machlokes.
That he says there's no machlokes.
Exactly. On the point that there's no machlokes, there's a great machlokes. And that you'll see on page 9 in the Chavas Yoyer. Now let me say a few words about the Chavas Yoyer. He was Rav Yoyer Auerbach. Okay, he was a German Jew, lived 4 centuries ago. Bachrach was his name. Did I say Auerbach? I meant to say Bachrach. And he wrote a critique on this Rambam. Why is he so upset about this Rambam? The answer is, as he says at the beginning of his presentation, that if you look at Tosus in Erevin, again, we got to go back. Remember, we saw the Ritva in Erevin, but we didn't look at Tosus in Erevin. That was on page one. You'll see it. One second. I'm sorry, page 3. My mistake. Tosus in Erevin claims that even dinim that are derived from Aloch Lemosh Misinai Yitochen Shichacha. Now remember, we saw the Gemara in Tmura. The Gemara in Tmura lists the categories that are subsumed under the 1700 Alochas that were forgotten during the Yimei Evlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. And amongst them we saw that they were Aloch Lemosh Misinai. So the Chavas Yoyer wants to know, how do we reconcile this Tosfos and basically the Gemara itself with the Rambam? The Rambam says in Aloch Lemoshe Misinai, there is no machlokas. Not only that, the Chavas Yoyer understands that since the Gemara will present machlokas in with regard to Gzeira Shava, okay, now we haven't discussed Gzeirah Shavah. We've been focusing our attention on Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. But with regard to Gzeirah Shavah, the Gemara says that you cannot darshan a Gzeirah Shavah and put two words together and equate them to parashios based on your own svara. You need a Kabbalah for that. So therefore, every Gzeirah Shavah came from Moshe Rabbeinu. And if that be the case, how could the Gemara and Tosfos assume that there's going to be machlokes about Gzeirah Shavah? There are many machlokes in about Gzeirah Shavah. How do we reconcile that with the Rambam? And basically the Chavos Das says, let's leave aside the Rambam, but yesh shichacha, there is shichacha, and if there's shichacha, we're going to forget the Torah, then we're going to forget even Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. And therefore the Gemara is absolutely justified. We're going to forget a Gzeirah Shavah. And therefore they're going to be machlokas in with regard to Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai and with regard to a Gzeirah Shavah. Says the Chavos Yair, yesh shichacha hein bepirush haksuvim. Number one, we're going to forget how to interpret psukim. Number two, hein bemidos hanidrashim, even with all the yud gimel midos that Torah nidreshes spend. Vehein bedvarim shekaru chazal halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai ubishar pirtei adinim. So the Chavos Yair takes a very outspoken view against the Rambam, that there will be machlokes in Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, and the reason for that is there's shichacha straight across the board on all parts of the Torah, and that's what the Gemara says in Tmura, that b'mei evlo shel Moshe nishtakhu even halacha is like a gzeres shava, which is L'Moshe V'Sinai.
It could be that the whole essence of a Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai is one that it's not going to be forgotten. Isn't that what it's saying?
That's what the Rambam is saying, yeah. But that's not what the Chavos Yair is saying. The Chavos Yair is saying that Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, like any other part of Torah, is not impervious, it's not invulnerable to Shichacha.
Okay.
There's no reason in the world to say that we forgot this, but we didn't forget this. If you're forgetting, then you're going to forget 1,700 halachas, amongst them, Gzeirah Shavah. And Gzeirah Shavah is Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai because I don't have the right to darshan Gzeirah Shavah on my own. And that's what the Gemara says explicitly in Tmura, that b'mei evlo shel Moshe, they forgot Gzeirah Shavah. So the Chavos Yair seems to be putting the Rambam into a very, very tight corner over here. The Rambam's back, I would say, proverbially, is against the wall. How could it be, according to the Rambam, that the Gemara postulates shichacha even with regard to Gzeirah Shavah, which is Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai?
But the Gemara only says Shichacha 1,700. It doesn't say there were 10,000.
No, but I'm saying the Gemara goes ahead and lists the categories that fit in under the 7. It doesn't go through every single one, but amongst the 1,700, it's got Gzeirah Shavah.
Does it mean all of Gzeirah Shavah?
No. But again, the Rambam says there's no machlokas about Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Period. It just doesn't exist. And that's against the Gemara and Tumah. And again, the logic compels us towards the Chavos Yair, because again, what's a shichacha? There's no reason why Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai should be impervious to shichacha. Why would you forget this kind of halacha, not that kind of halacha? But now the Chavos Yair asks a different question, and it may be a little bit less dramatic, but I find it absolutely fascinating. And he says the following. He says, we are... it should start with the word Ketzad. Let's see if I'll find it. Okay, give me a second here because I'm...
Central line.
Yeah. Where is it? You found it? Oh, I'm on the wrong page. That's why I'm not finding it. Yeah, because I didn't print out page 9. If you take a look on page 9, then you'll see a paragraph at the top of page 9 that starts with the words V'chol ze eino shavali.
That's three columns.
On the right column, yes.
Oh, that's where we did that, right?
No, I think we did just the first part.
All right.
The first part, but if you look at the...
There it is, right at the beginning. Okay, right-hand column.
You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Yechiel, let me summarize his question, and then we'll see it inside. I find this question absolutely fascinating. And I think you'll find it fascinating, too. I'm hoping.
I'm very excited.
It's a kasha, but I'm excited. I love a good kasha. This is a gewaldige kasha. If we're assuming that the source, the root of machlokas is shichacha, how could there be machlokas in about things that happen on a daily basis? The machlokas shibei sil beit shammai had to recite kriyat shma. Do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Ribono shalom, you tell me shichacha. Where did the tradition get lost? How did shichacha enter into something that goes on? What, was there a day where we didn't read kriyat shma and then all of a sudden we forgot what we did 2 days ago? He gives another beautiful example. There's a whole machlokas about how to recite kiddush. You know, Beisol says this, Beishamai says that. You know, first you make the Bar Priya Gofen, and then you make the Mekadosh HaShabbos, such. Yaknahaz, the whole sukkah at the end of Pesachim. Ribono Shelolam. They've been reciting Kiddush for 1,000 years. Yeah. How did they forget what they did yesterday? Or he gives the example of Mezigas HaKos, you know, how you mix wine with undiluted wine, you know, to dilute it. Big Machlokas. What, they didn't know? I mean, it's something that you see every day. I wanted to add tefillin to the list. You have machlok shin rashi and rabbeinu tam. This is thousands of years after the Jews were wearing tefillin. I don't get it. Nobody knew how they wore tefillin for 1,000 years? Where's the shichacha here? I don't get shichacha satora. Great job.
Doesn't the Gemara talk about sometimes where they didn't have enough, they didn't have wine? Could it be within our history that there are times with regards to everything?
Maybe, but again, you know, he just gives a few examples, but you could go on and on. You know?
There were issues that something came up on Shabbos 1 year, so the next year they didn't know what to do. I mean,
Shabbos is every seventh day. You may have certain issues that come up periodically. Yeah. Let's say if Shabbos overlaps with Rosh Hashanah, you know, do you blow the shofar? You not blow? That's true. But here's an issue of Kiddush every single Shabbos. Kriyat Shema twice a day. Again, you could go on and on. You know, we're not going to give an exhaustive list. But trust me, there's machlokas about anything you ever dreamed of. There's going to be a machlokas on. Awesome. Anytime a Talmud asks me a question, especially when I used to teach 18-year-olds, my first answer was, it's a machlokas. And I'm always right about that. You know, beyond that, I'm probably wrong, but at least I can tell this about Kloikas. How could Shichacha be the exhaustive explanation for Machlokas? The Chavas Yoyer doesn't understand.
Forgetting.
Okay. Now, at the end of his presentation, okay, so let's read that inside, because I think you wanted to see it inside. Do you see the pointer in that first paragraph on page 9? Right? A pointer? You know what I mean by pointer, right? So if you go above the pointer, it says V'eich Nishkach. It's underlined. Do you see that? V'eich Nishkach V'lo Yodu Dvarim Anogim Tamid B'chol Shabbos Im Mosgim Esakos V'yakach Notlu. Oh, there's a Machlokas and Brachas. What do you do first? Do you do Medigas V'gas Kos? Or you do Nethil Siyadayim? What is it? They didn't know what was going on? B'davar anoig b'chol yom tamid pa'amayim ha'chbeit shamiyom be'erev kolom yate. He gives the Kriyat Shema example. B'chei ma'shenechekhu Rabbeinu Tam Rabbeinu Elyo ha'zokin in mitzvahs k'shira sa'keshel tefillin b'chol yom mamish. I don't know if we're any Lubavitches here in the audience. Okay, only one. So I do k'shira on my tefillin. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. But a good Chabadnik, paskins like this Rabbeinu Elio, which means ukshartem liol sal yedeichem. What's ukshartem? Ukshartem, the Alter Rebbe.
Redo your knots if you want?
No, I don't redo the knot, but what I do is I tie the knot to the tefillin. And that's part of my bracha. My bracha is not just on wrapping the tefillin, it's on tying the knot to the tefillin. Okay, it doesn't matter, I'm also. Let's not go, I can give you a whole shiur on Hilchos tefillin. It's not for now. The only point is, this is Maisim B'chol Yom, and it's Machlokas Rishonim. How could that be? Eich Oysa Kazo Shalom Rok Tanim Min Agdolim? He means the younger generation from the older generation? V'talmidim Yirabosayim Eich Nagu? How could it be? And in the next paragraph, he speaks about Gzeir Shava. And so forth and so. So he quotes in the third paragraph.
Two Jews, three opinions.
Right. Elu v'elu divra l'kim chai. So what is this all about?
That's what we say.
Comes the Chavas Yoyer, and he says, Lahatzil divrei Rambam purta. Purta means, you know, give him a little slack here. Can we come up with some explanation, justification for the Rambam, even if it's not totally satisfying? And he says the following. Shemasha Kosav, what the Rama writes, Alloch Lemosha Bisinei Einbo Machlokes, Ritzono Loma Bichlal Hadovar. Okay, let me just give a little introduction. The Chavas Yoyer wants to fundamentally differentiate between two concepts. He calls it the Klal HaDavar and the Etzem HaLoch. The Klal HaDavar, he says, whether it's Tameh or it's Tahar, that's a fundamental principle. Whether it's Asur, it's Mutu, it's Kosher, whether it's Pasul, he says, Ein Bo Machlokas. That's what the Rambam writes, there's no Machlokas. However, where does Shichicha set in, and where is Machlokas? The Etzem HaLochos. Etzem HaLochos means the details, the Seifim, the branches or the subcategories of the Halacha. He gives the following example. He says that there's definitely a shiur, a minimum amount for any mitzvah, for any averinach, let's say, macholos asuros or whatsoever. You can have a machlokes exactly what constitutes that shiur. But fundamentally, the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim tells me that it's awesome. So you can ask me, well, what happens if Arla in Toronto gets mixed up with chulin, you know, with heter? You know, is it batel, is it not? Do you need 1 in 100, 1 in 200? What's the din of that? You could have machlokas, but on the very basic fundamental issue of whether or not the Arla is no heges and chutzlar, it's that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That's where there's no machlokas. Now, he quotes a Gemara of Lo Bashamayim. You remember that Gemara? We'll have to, I guess, finish up. The Gemara says, Rav Yeshua, and the question of Taru Shalachdai, and do we pass his Tomei and his Tar? And Rav Elazar says, you know, if the halacha is like me, a baskel is going to come out, and the walls of the base bench move, and the water is going to go up, she down, she'd all this stuff, until finally Rav Yeshua says, Lo Bashamayim, that it's not up in Shamayim. What does that mean? That means that you can have a machlokes, and you can have a concept called shachachum v'chazrum v'yistam. Meaning you can have halachos that the ikre halacha, the fundamental principle, was not forgotten. That was transmitted, and it's a very reliable transmission. But in the pirtei halachos, in the details, there could be a machlokes, there could be shichacha. And therefore, even though the abstract principles of Tumah V'Tahara were accepted universally, that's already halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. On that, we don't say Lo V'Shamayim. That came straight from Shamayim to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And that's certainly part of our celebration on Shavuos night, when we stay up and we learn Torah, for those who have that minhag. But then there's something called Lo V'Shamayim. Where does Lo V'Shamayim come into play, says the Chavos Yoyer? And when does Shamayim terminate? When you get down to the details. So the abstract principles, the fundamental rules, are Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That's Min HaShamayim. But he says when you get to the details, he says that's where we had Shichicha, and that's where the Chachmei Adoros were given the power to decide Halacha within every generation, and therefore Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim.
How does that answer your question?
No, what it answers is, how can we say, on the one hand, as the Rambam says, there's no such thing as Machlokas in Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, there's no Machlokas in Gzeira Shava. The Gemara says Lo B'Shamayim. The Gemara says in any machlokas, we, the Chachma Yisrael, would decide where the halacha, determine the halacha. So what are you telling me, that there's no machlokas and it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu from our Sinai? No, you don't understand. There's a major battle over here.
So you're saying the Rambam, there's a machlokas from the beginning?
What I'm saying is the following, that the Rambam is of the opinion that there's certain areas in the Torah which are, you know, that's Min HaShamayim, the Holy Holies, Moshe Rabbeinu received it at Har Sinai, don't even go near it, there's no machlokas, don't even dream of a machlokas. Other areas, there is machlokas. So the Chavos Yoyer asks the obvious question. We know from the Gemara and Temura there are machlokas even about a Gzeira Shavah, which is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. You can't come along with your own Gzeira Shavah. So you see B'Shamayim he. No, but on the other hand, we know there's machlokas. And Lo B'Shamayim he, meaning we're going to be machriya in those machlokas. Says the Chavos Das, in order to be B'Yashev Purta, he says, Purta, a little bit the Rambam, we could say the following. Yeah, the Rambam is right, B'Shamayim he. But what's B'Shamayim? B'Shamayim he, Mashani Kogeya Kivuna Klali, meaning the general kivun, the general, how do you say in English, direction. You want to know, is it puzzle? Is it kosher? Is it this? Is it that? Is there a shear? Is it not a shear? Is it Tavei, is it Tar? On that we say Vashamayim. That's the Rambam of Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And on that we have a reliable transmission, and there'll never be controversy. No. However, where does Shichacha set in, says the Chavos Yoyer according to the Rambam? That's when we get to Lo Vashamayim. That's when we're down to the details. How, in any scenario, in any particular situation, do we apply the general rule? Yeah, you're right, it's Tomei. But to what extent is it Tomei? Under what circumstances? And then you can have Beis Lebet Shammai fighting it out. Let's just see, I we have to conclude here, but I wanted to add one thing on page 4.
It's a regular work for me.
You have regular work day. So, Yechiel, whenever you have to go, go. I'm not going to keep you much longer.
I want to hear the punchline at the end.
Okay, I don't know if it's a punchline, but what I do want to show you, if I can find it again, is the Maratz Chaim's and the Or Chaim. Where is that? Oof. Okay. If anybody can help me just find the Maratz Chaim's. Yeah, is it on page... Maybe it's on page 4. Okay. Sometimes there's so many sources that it's hard to juggle them all. Okay, fine. Yeah, the Maratz Chaim wrote a book called Torah Sanavim, but I'm not finding it now. Torah Sanavim. Ah, you found it, Torah Sanavim? Okay, let me just. Yeah, page 10. Okay. See, I wasn't able to print out everything. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The Torah Sanavim of the Maratz Chaim is absolutely gigantic. So what I'm going to do is summarize a few major points. He wants to suggest the following. That, you know what the Rama means? The Rama means, when he says, Ein machlokas b'dvar ma'makubolim ba'alokha l'moshe mi-Sinai, he means to say that as far as, let's say, that Moshe received from Har Sinai the entire Torah, and Moshe knew the entire Torah. That's for sure. However, and again, this is a little tricky. I'm not advocating that you accept the Maratz Chaim, but he says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood what he received and knew all the Torah he received as long as it was to use his term, it was a davar hanoheg biyomov.
Noheg
biyomov means that there's certain sociological realities and certain physical realities that come to pass over the course of time. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, had a complete Kabbalah and Yediyas HaTorah with regard to anything that existed in his time. However, b'merutzas hazman, with the passage of time, chachmei haTorah donim, they had to judge new situations that arose, al pi hayisodos v'hashroshim, they had to go back to the fundamentals and the first principles, the roots of the Torah.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anything to do with mitzvot tulis baris they can fight about because the Moshe didn't experience it.
Correct. And that could explain why we might have machlokas in something like mitzvot tulis baris. He never came into Eretz Yisrael. Right. That's an excellent example. Mm-hmm. He says that with regard to applying the principles of Moshe to new cases and new situations that arise, he says we need what he calls a derech drashos hamakubalos. We have to go back to those drashos that were accepted. He says, "Hayu nirim pratim elu l'Moshe Rabbeinu kechadoshim." And which Gemara is the Maratz Chaim going to now understand? The Gemara Menachos. Because what did the Gemara Menachos tell us? That Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back of the classroom, and Rabbi Akiva is darshaning new halachos, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand what's going on. So then the Talmud asks Rabbi Akiva, where do you know this from? Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Ah, says the Maratz Chaim, the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai is the shorish, is the root, is the principle. But the way Rabbi Akiva was applying that principle to his reality was totally new to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was totally confused. But Nacha Daito, when did Moshe Rabbeinu feel a consolation? When he realized that the abstract principles in fundament were his principles. Again, the applications to Dvarim Chadashim, to new cases and new scenarios. Like, for example, I once spent a few minutes trying to read a book about Skype in halacha. No, it's no joke. There are so many halachic issues that arise as a result of Skype. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu would walk in to a shir, and you know who would give a shir on this? Rabbi Tachin would be perfectly up his line. I can take a shvud d'oraisa that he's given a shir on this topic, even though I have no way of knowing if he did or he didn't. He loves that stuff, right? You know, I'll give you an example. A man wants to divorce his wife. She's there and he's there. They're on two sides of the earth. Can he appoint a shliach over Skype? But again, there are thousands of examples. Over Skype, can you hear Kriyas HaMegillah over Skype? And even if you hold that, you know, with regard to microphones, there are issues, but Skype might be different than a microphone. And not only that, you see the person. I don't want to get into detail. What I'm trying to suggest is, David, do you hear the abstract principle? The challenge of a posek in contemporary life is to go back to the shroshim, go back to the what he calls the drashas hamakubalos, the fundamental principles, the klolim, and then see how to extract from those klolim a psak bisman hazeh. A few weeks ago, I gave a shiur in the Amic Learning Center about gelatin. Now, gelatin was unknown at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, we've developed new techniques in extracting gelatin from the bones of animals. You know, so this is what contemporary poskim have to do. They have to go back to the abstract principles, and they have to figure out how they apply.
And quinoa changes every Pesach.
Every Pesach, yeah. And within Pesach itself, between your two sons. You know, I have one son who eats quinoa, and one son who doesn't eat quinoa. It's very exciting. Anyway.
Eilu v'eilu.
Eilu v'eilu, Kim Chayim. So he says that therefore when Moshe Rabbeinu sat at the back of the class for Rabbi Akiva and he was totally perplexed, he was flabbergasted by Rabbi Akiva's drasha, he says that's what it applies to. And finally, and with this we conclude on page 7, the Shalah HaKadosh has an argument here with the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim, you know, lived about 5 centuries ago in the city of Tzfat. His name was Ben Attar, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, and the Shalah was a little bit later. The Shalah claims that we can have a machlokas on Gzeirah Shavah, and why is that? He says, because what was handed down by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai with regard to Gzeirah Shavah was that Ploni Yilmod Mi Ploni, meaning, let's say for example, we have a famous Gzeirah Shavah of Hukash Havaya Liyitziyah, which means Kedushin and Gerushin. So, for example, laws of Shtar and how do you write Lishma, they're derived in Get from Kedushin and Gerushin, and so forth and so on. Claims the Shalah, fascinating, that what Moshe Rabbeinu handed down was that there is a Gzeirah Shavah between Kiddushin and Gerushin. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't tell us, and it's not part of the Mesorah, exactly Eze Tevos Hem B'Gzeirah Shavah, which words in the Torah, or which word in the Torah will give us the Gzeirah Shavah. He says on that you could have a Machlokas. Okay, that's fascinating. But what I wanted to finish up with is this Or HaChaim on the bottom of your page 7, and he says, "For Isli Yashi Mamori Chazal Sha'omu Shlo Hoya Dover Shlo Nimsa L'Moshe Misinai," the Yerushalmi Impeya that we began with, that every Chiddush that any Talmud Vosik is given Mechadish was given already to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. The Omer B'Makom Acher, and yet Chazal say that Rabbi Kiva was being Doresh Tilei Tilim Shekotzei Kotzim, etc., etc. And Moshe Rabbeinu said these are all Chidushim I wasn't aware of. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know all the Chidushim, right? He didn't know all the Chidushim. He says, "Ein Chidush Shelo Yada Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu knew every Chidush, but Lo Hodia Le Moshe. Kol mashe nosan lo balpeh heichan hu ramuz b'torah shebichsav. Fascinating sheet of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He says the following, that the relationship between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh is such that everything that we know in Torah shebalpeh has its root in Torah shebichsav. The one who dedicated himself to this limud to some extent is the Malbim and the Tartmima, and also the Ksava Kabbalah, who was a German Jew, lived almost two centuries ago. These were the Mefarshei Torah, and the Gaon also does it very often, to try to find in the Pshuta Shel Mikra some sort of extra pasuk or extra word from which we can derive a certain halacha. So he says the following: Moshe Rabbeinu never told us, with regard to Torah Shebaal Peh, where we could find the source for the Torah Shebaal Peh in the Torah Shebichsav. Zui Avodas Bnei Yisrael Amolei HaTorah. This is the responsibility, the job of Amolei HaTorah throughout the generations. Lilabeish Olahalbish Halachos Shenemel L'Moshe Misinai V'sodos U'drushim Kulam Yitnu Lehem Mokom B'Torah Shebichsav. So that's what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu received the entire Torah, and he knew all the Chidushim, but where's the place for Chiddush, and where did Moshe Rabbeinu leave it to us through the generations to find new ideas? That's in this job, this challenge of connecting Torah Shebaal Peh back to Torah. Shebichsav. Yiratzon this Chag HaShavuos, we should all be mekabel Torah b'simcha, and with a great deal of commitment and energizing ourselves to the study both of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, we should all be mekabel Torah b'simcha, kei yiratzon.
Amen.